Amen. Hi, I'm Melissa Humphreys. Andrew and I, we're the leaders of this church at Long Jetty Salvos, and we want to welcome you today. To our regulars, we miss you. We wish you were in the room, but we're picturing you, and we love you. Congratulations, you finally get to come to church in your pyjamas, so we're all very happy for you. I'm with you, Sandy. Okay, and it's really exciting to see how many people are already tuning in online. So just keep checking in with us. We want to keep in touch with you all, and that's really important to us. Now at Long Jetty, we have some values that are very important to us and things that make Long Jetty who we are. And we want to just share some of that, our values with you. We value relationship. So we want people to keep on connecting. We want people to keep on loving on each other and being part of community together. We value acceptance. That's the come as you are part of Long Jetty. We love that people just feel comfortable to be part and family together. We value transformation. That's more of God and less of me. We value that. And we value empowerment, which is realizing and releasing our potential. Do you know the best part about these values is that we can do that wherever we are. We don't need to be in a building to do that. We can be the church wherever we are in the world. And we can show these values out. We've talked for a few years on and off whether we would be able to ever do a live stream. And we've recorded our sermons for quite a while. I guess we're finding out today whether we actually can do a live stream. So far, I think it's working. But if you want to see any past recordings of our sermons, they're only audios, but you might want to check them out at salvos.org.au/longjetty. That's when you find out a lot of stuff about what we do. Well, wow, what an intense few weeks. Remember when we thought it was outrageous that there were hot cross buns in the shops on Boxing Day? That was an outrageous time. The rate of change in our world is just off the charts. We've had to get used to so many things and confronted with so many things that we never thought would happen here. The empty supermarket shelves, I found that confronting. The news that keeps sharing statistics about what's going on in the world. Social media, well, that's got its good and bad points as well. The funny things have been the memes that have been going around helping us laugh about all kinds of things. And I would love to show you pictures, but I can't quite make that happen today. But if you keep looking on Facebook, you'll find them. So maybe you're feeling a bit overwhelmed today. Maybe you're feeling, I'm not sure how I'm going to navigate the next few weeks. I'm not even sure how I'm going to navigate this week. Just from this virus that's come into our world so quickly, we've also had things that have concerned us before then. We might have been concerned about our finances, about others, by our health, maybe shame and guilt. We can be overwhelmed with our emotions. We can be overwhelmed by insecurity or loneliness or even grief. Maybe it's anger that's overwhelming us. Resentment, bitterness, conflict. There's so many things that can tap into our lives. Now, earlier this week, I offered to make a family a meal. It was late in the afternoon. I thought, you know, just duck to the shops, pick up some meat, some salad, 10 minutes, easy job. Well, I was wrong. The shelves were completely bare. The meat was gone. No mince, no chicken, except for brawn. Now, I can cook a lot of things, but I have no idea what you're supposed to do with brawn. So that stayed on the shelf. Apparently, no one else knew what to do it either. That's why it was still there. But because I can adapt, I thought, you know what, I'll get a lasagna. That's easy enough. So I went down to find a lasagna, and there's no lasagnas either. And by now, I'm starting to freak out because I've never been in this position where I couldn't find food. I'd offered to do something and I couldn't do it. I was getting a little bit desperate. So finally I come across some frozen potato bake. You know what? That became the meal that night. It was an option. It was a little bit weird, but it was what happened. And that shopping experience was a little bit traumatic for me. So what do I do when I feel overwhelmed? How do I navigate life when it feels that the Bible is that every part of our life, there's an answer for it in there. We just have to look. And today we saw the cartoon, which was said so much better than I could, was about Jehoshaphat. He was a pretty good guy. It's out of 2 Chronicles 20, if you want to look it up and read it. He was a good guy. He was a good leader. And he actually brought his nation into a spiritual revival. He was doing good. Now, sometimes hard times come when we're on a great track. We're doing the right thing. We're committing our life to God. We're reading our Bible. We're praying. We're on our way for fulfilling everything that we feel God wants us to do. And then something out of the ordinary happens. For him, with that too, it's a triple threat. This big army is coming from just down the road to attack him. It was bigger than their resources, and they were a bit scared. Today, we need to take away what this guy did when he was overwhelmed, because they're the exact same five things we need to do when we feel overwhelmed. So what are they? Now, if you're at Long Jetty in our actual building right now, we'd have handouts on your seats. So if you've got a pen and paper near you, grab one and just jot them down, because that's good. The first one is, I need to turn to God for help. I need to turn to God for help. He doesn't turn on the television. He doesn't turn on social media. He doesn't buy 6 months' supply of toilet paper. He's just saying, I'm going to turn to God first. So instead of prayer being our last resort, it needs to be our first choice. God, I'm about to coming at me. I've got problems coming from here and here and here. They're financial, they're material, they're spiritual, they're emotional, they're physical. God, I need your help. And verse 5 out of 2 Chronicles 20 is loud. There is no problem too big for us to pray about, and there's no problem too small for us to pray about. If it's big enough to worry about, then I need to pray. I need to turn to God for help. Number two, when I'm feeling overwhelmed, I need to focus on God, not the problem. Focus on God and not the problem. Do you remember when you were a kid, you'd go on car rides somewhere, maybe to the city, it was a couple of hours away, and it seemed to take forever to get there. You'd be driving, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? And then you'd go, you'd do what you wanted to do there, and the drive home would be so fast. You'd either, you know, have a little bit of a doze, look out the window for a bit, and all of a sudden you're home again. That's because our focus was different. Am I focusing on the anticipation, the problem, the unknown, the concerns, not being able to go out? Or am I just being carried home? Someone else is driving. I'm just going along for the ride, because I trust the one who's in control and I know where I'm going. Now, at the moment, we need to stay home. That is the safest place for us to be right now. That is the safest place for our communities and our nation to be right now. And please stay home. That is the right thing to do. But what an opportunity we have. What a great time to pray. What about start a prayer journal? Commit to reading every day. Declutter. Clean out that room you've been putting off. Why not become an encouragement carrier? Contact people as they come into your thoughts. Allow God to renew our minds. What a great way to spend the next couple of weeks. Let's focus on God and not the problems. How do we do that? Let's remember how big God is. He's God. He's all powerful. He's in control and nothing's too hard for him. Remember what God has done in the past. Jehoshaphat lifts out all the areas that God has come through in the past. He said, God, you've helped us when there is war, when there's flood, when there's plague, when there's famine. You've helped. Because God's in the business of rescuing people. And we need to remember what God has promised. How do we know we don't know the promises of God? That's really simple. We worry. The Bible's filled with promises. Let's become promise people. Let's focus on God and not on the problem. 20-something years ago now, I lived in a unit by myself. And I decided one night that I needed to move a fairly heavy dressing table. That wasn't a bad idea. The bad idea was that where I wanted to move it. In my mind, it needed to go upstairs. don't worry, it was only six stairs. It wasn't a lot. So I pushed and I pulled this dressing table. It was quite large, a giant mirror on it. Pulled it to the stairs. It looked pretty easy. Got to the bottom step. It was a bit heavy, so I was starting to waver in my confidence, but my amount of stupidity made up for it, so I kept going. Got it up onto the first step. That was all right. Hiked it up to the second step. Bit harder, but we could do that. The third step, and then I finally had it perched up on the fourth step. One angle, the angle was intense. One side of it was still on the bottom on the floor, and the other foot, the legs of it were standing on the fourth step. That's when I decided if I just kind of lifted that lower section up a bit, I could move it. It was really, you know, only two steps. It wasn't that much. So down I go, somehow up with my back's under there. And midway through this maneuver of looking like this was when I felt something weird in my back. And then the pain started. So there I was, underneath this dressing table with an oversized mirror. I couldn't go backwards. And I was really scared to go forwards. Now, I still don't know what happened and how that dressing table made it out intact. My back needed a few days just to recover, but it came good. And I should have learnt the lesson, but you know, I'm still a bit slow on this. And I still don't do it so well. But let me say it for you out loud right now. There are some things that I am unable to do. And that's number three. I need to admit my inability. I need to admit my inability. Sometimes we're just scared because we don't know what to do. We don't know how to fix it. We just don't know. But the first step to any kind of recovery is to stop living in denial. I admit that I am powerless and that my life is unmanageable, and I need to admit my inability. Verse 12, Jehoshaphat says, "We are powerless against this mighty army that is about to attack us, and we don't know what to do, but we are looking to you for help." We don't know what to do. It looks hopeless. I don't know what to do in this situation. People keep in this pandemic. Now, I don't know much about COVID-19, but I know Jesus. I may not know what next week or next month will look like, but I have absolute confidence the maker of the heaven and the earth is with us. He's brought us through all kinds of dramas and disasters, mostly of our own making. We've seen miracles time and time again. And even over the past few weeks, we've seen miracles happen in our church family where God has just come through amazing circumstances of disaster. If we look at ourselves, we see inability, and that leads to fear. If we look at God, we see the King, the beginning and the end, the Lord of all, and that brings peace. We don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. The fourth thing we need to do when we feel overwhelmed is I need to thank God in advance. Now, this is a strategy for God's battles. I find it amazing. Verse 21 said, "The king appointed the musicians and the singers in robes of a choir to march in front of the army and loudly praise the Lord. He told them to sing, 'Thank God, his faithful love endures forever.'" Now, you've got to admit, that's a pretty bizarre way to lead an army. He said, "Put the worship team in front of the fighting men." He says, "Lead the march out towards the battlefield, head towards the danger, and while you're going, sing." Now, I don't know about you, but that's a pretty tall order for me. Facing death, facing a triple threat attack, and they were just singing and thanking God. Now, let me ask you today, when are you going to start thanking God for the miracles in your life? Not the answers, but the miracles that haven't happened yet. You know that thing you've always wanted? The thing you've wanted to happen, the thing you really don't want to happen. The prayer you've been praying, the dream you've always had, when are you going to start thanking God for it? After it happens, we thank God, and that's called gratitude. When we thank God before something happens, that's called faith. And here's what happens when we thank God in advance. At the moment, They began to sing and praise. The Lord caused the enemy armies to begin fighting among themselves, and they destroyed each other. Now, I tried that out this week. Instead of getting all disturbed by the empty shelves at the shops, I chose to sing instead. Now, it was quiet. It was not a performance for Coles. But I decided to sing. I'm going, God, I'm going to praise you in the uncertainty. I'm going to praise you while I'm waiting for the miracle. So when I found there was no meat, Waymaker, miracle worker, you know, I'm going to get eggs and bacon instead. That's all right. No toilet paper. Promise keeper, light in the darkness. Yes? No bread. My God, that is who you are. That's right. He's a way maker, a miracle worker. That's who he is. And the more we praise him, the more we're going to see God instead of our problems. I'm praising Jesus because he deserves it. And my circumstances are only temporary. Try singing to Jesus in the shops. You don't have to sing loud, but sing. And after a while, you're not going to care that there's no toilet paper. I still haven't found any. And praise Jesus, I haven't even run out yet. So it's all good. Last one, number five. The fifth way not to be overwhelmed is to find the blessing in the bad. Verse 24 says, when the army of Judah arrived at the battleground, they went out to gather the plunder. They found vast amounts of equipment, clothing, and valuables. On the fourth day, after they took days to pick it all up, everyone gathered in the valley of Beraka. Now, God doesn't want us to just go through life, battle after battle, trying to fight on our own, being worn out, getting sick and tired of being sick and tired. And God says, I don't want you living in the valley of battles. I want you to live in the valley of Beraka. Beraka. Do you know what Beraka means? It means blessing. It means blessing. God wants us to live in the valley of blessing. He wants to bless us so much we can only share it with other people. You have toilet paper? Share some. Share a smile. Encourage someone. I don't know what's overwhelming you today. You may be all torn up. You may have all kinds of anxiety, depression, discouragement, fear, worry, resentment. I don't know what's going on. But maybe you feel like you're just going to explode on the inside. So today I want to ask you to pretend like you're in a choir for the army. Think about that problem that's overwhelming you. I know you're at home and you're probably pretty comfortable on your seat there, but let's thank God now in faith. Say, Lord, you know that problem I've got, that thing I'm so concerned about. I'm going to thank you in advance that you're taking care of it. Let's thank him. Let's take it to him today. We're going to play a song in a moment where we can just spend time worshiping God and thanking him for what he's going to do. We're going to have the blessing. We're going to find the blessing in the bad. Let me pray for you right now. First of all, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, this is where I encourage you to pray this prayer with me. Jesus, I invite you into my life. I admit that I need you because I can't do this on my own. Holy Spirit, fill me, guide me, teach me, and help me to be more like Jesus, I pray in Jesus' name. I surrender myself, I surrender my situation completely to you, God. Help me not be discouraged. Help me not be afraid, not to resist, not to run, but just to know who you are. Stand still and trust you. Instead of worrying, I want to worship. And as an act of faith, I'm going to start thanking you in advance for working the whole thing out. I ask this, Jesus, in your name. Amen. Let's